started out on Friday night with Shelley sharing, and she shared on the sovereignty of God and how God is in control no matter what. And sometimes we say the enemy has stolen from us, and it's true, he may take things from us, but he never does anything without God's permission. And she shared the story of Job and again the story of Joseph and how it must have seemed to them that, you know, things were out of control, but God always had his hand on what was happening. And that is true in our lives today too. He has his hand on everything that is happening in our lives. And then on Saturday morning, Chelsea shared a beautiful message about who we are and reminded us that our identity is not found in anything we can do or say or be. Our identity is found in the God that we serve, because he is the great I am and there is none like him. And it is in him and through him that we have identity. And there is nothing that anyone can say or do that can change or rock that identity once we understand that that's who he is. So that was an incredible message, and she brought out the story of Moses. As you can tell, there has been no women's stories thus far. And I will not be bringing any women in this morning. So we did not do any women from the Bible this week. But God is faithful, and he is so good. So then last night, Amber Lee shared, and she shared about David, and she talked about how David slew the giant Goliath, kind of on his own, well, with God, but, you know, just God and David. And then she talked about later in life, David faced another giant, but this time David was losing to the giant until God sent along a helper who slew the giant on David's behalf. And she talked about how we cannot walk this journey alone, and God is never destined for us to walk this journey alone. When he created man and woman, he created man and woman, and he created two people. And when he called his disciples, he called them by twos. And so sometimes we just need to reach out and ask for that help and walk together through this journey of life. So this morning, I'm going to be talking on something that's kind of different, but it still builds on all of those things. And I'm going to be pacing a little bit, and as you can tell, my shoes are a little clunky. So I'm going to, you know, just take what Moses had, and God said, take off your shoes, Moses, because you're on holy ground. And Chelsea did this yesterday morning, and now I understand why she did it. So if you will just pardon me, people, no shoes on this pulpit, okay, on this platform, because it's just too noisy. All right. Okay, so anyhow, it is just wonderful and awesome to be here. As Pastor Michael has said, this has been a great weekend. And I've been to a lot of women's conferences, a lot of women's conferences. And I have three friends back there, and we're the gurus of women's conferences. Let me tell you, we've been to so many women's conferences, it's unbelievable. And I will tell you, of all the women's conferences that I have been to, this has been one of my favorite conferences ever. The presence of God has been so powerful here this weekend. He is just been here in an intimate and a wonderful and a loving and an amazing way, and he has touched lives, and I believe that there are women and men this morning and men tonight who are going to be leaving this weekend changed by the power of God, because that's what it's all about, my friend. Amen. And I said to Shelley last night, Shelley, is there any better place to be than right here sharing God with people? And she said, there's no better place. Amen? Can I get an amen? There's no better place. All right, people of God, stand to your feet. You know, you all look so wonderful this morning, and you look so beautiful, and it's so lovely to stand up here and look down and see your wonderful smiling faces and see what God sees, because every morning, this is what he sees. Every night, this is what he sees, and he loves it. Let's bow our heads and hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. We thank you for your goodness, your greatness, your mercy, and your love. You are an amazing God, and we love you this morning. And thank you, Father, that you love us and you have a word you want to share with us. Father, I pray that you will put your words in my mouth, that I will speak forth your heart, Lord, and that this morning they will see Jesus and Jesus only. To you be the glory, praise, and honor. In your name, amen. Okay, you can all sit down again if you want. All right. So each of the ladies that have spoken this weekend have specifically drawn to a certain story or a certain passage of scriptures. I won't be doing that this morning. I'm going to be kind of all over the place, because what I have to say comes from all through the Word of God. And so I just wanted to just give you that little heads up, all right? And so I'm going to be jumping around a lot. You may be able to follow me sometimes, you may not. But you can always get my notes after if you want. I want to say before I start, though, there is someone else here that I really want to thank this morning, and that is Allie, because Allie has come out to every service thus far and led worship. And I know this morning she must be feeling exhausted, but she has done an amazing job and has an amazing heart for worship. Can we give Allie a hand this morning? Amen. God is blessing you and anointing you, Allie. And tonight we get the privilege of hearing from Chelsea. And thank you to all you gentlemen who've been the backup and have just stood in the background and played and been there. And we appreciate you all so much. God is good. Just recently I was listening to a sermon by a quite famous speaker. And I'm not going to say who it is, but just a famous speaker. And that speaker said something that I've heard before, but it really resonated in my heart anew. And they made a statement, and I'm going to make that statement this morning because it's true. So the statement is, God loves me, and he thinks I am amazing. So I'm going to say that again. You heard me. God loves me, and he thinks I am amazing. Now, you're probably all sitting there thinking, oh, my goodness. Wow, she's got an exalted opinion of herself. Who does she think she is? Well, let me tell you something, my friends, this morning. This is not my opinion that I'm giving to you. This is not Allison's opinion, even though she's known me since she was a little girl. It is not my lovely sister's opinion back there, or my daughter's, Pastor Michael's, Shelley's, anybody who's known me. This opinion doesn't come from the postman down the street. It doesn't come from the grocer. It doesn't come from the lawyer. It's not from the prime minister. This opinion is God's opinion this morning. It is God's opinion. And I want to take you a little bit further than that. It's not only God's opinion about me. It is also God's opinion about you. God loves you, and he thinks you are amazing. Do you get it? God loves you, and he thinks you are amazing. The God of the universe, the God who says, I am that I am, loves you and thinks you're amazing. I'm going to put this thing down because that's going to fall over and make a big noise. All right. Okay. So this morning, this is kind of just my introduction. I really want you to get an understanding of how God feels about us. So in Psalms 8 and 4, verses 4 and 5, this is what the psalmist says. He says, who is mankind that you, God, are mindful of them? Who are human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned them, the title of the theme of our whole weekend, you have crowned them with glory and honor. That's what God thinks of us this morning. Now, more than that, God loves us. Now, I know you've all heard that since you were children in Sunday school, but I wonder sometimes, do you grasp the depth and the broadness of that? Like how wide, how deep, and how fathomless is the love that God has for you? Well, when I went on Bible Gateway to look up scriptures about that say that God loves us, I was overwhelmed by how many scriptures there are from Genesis all the way through to Revelations. So I just picked a few, and I'm going to walk through them quickly with you because this is how much God loves us. Romans 5 and 5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Romans 5 and 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8 and 39, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Galatians 2 verse 20b, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 2, 4, 5a, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even while we were dead in our transgressions. That is the love of God, and that is only just a very light understanding of the love of God. Just recently, I watched a movie. It's called The Shack. Some of you may have watched it. and I read the book many years ago. Now, a lot of people get hung up on that and they say, well, you know, it's not theologically sound. Well, maybe it isn't. That's okay, because I didn't watch it for theology. I watched it for entertainment. But it is a good story, and it does touch on some things that are very true theologically. And there is one thing in particular that it touches on. It just kind of touches on it. So there's a black woman, as you probably all know, who is being God the Father. She's portraying God the Father. Don't ask me why they picked a black woman, but anyhow, that's who is portraying God the Father. And throughout the movie, she's talking to the lead character, and the lead character and her will discuss people that they know in common. So she might say something like, well, you know, Kevin, remember Kevin and this and that and so on, and or Susan, remember her, or remember this one, or remember that one. And then she always finishes that sentence by saying, I'm especially fond of him, or I'm especially fond of her. And finally, this goes on for so long, finally, close to the end of the movie, the lead character says, I have to ask you a question. Is there anyone that you're not especially fond of? And, you know, the person portraying God says, no, actually, there's not. I'm especially fond of everyone. And, you know, I say that they just touched on a truth there, because the truth is that God is not just especially fond of us. God absolutely, completely, and utterly loves and adores us. And so I want to bring you into something else. Not only does God love and adore us, this is how much he loves and adores us. He is thinking about us all the time. Now, I bet you think that that's a statement that's not true. Oh, how can God be thinking about us all the time? Well, I don't know how he does it. He's God. But he thinks about us all the time. And the Word of God says in Psalms 139 and verse 17, and maybe you can turn to that one, Psalm 139 and verse 17. I'll give you a moment because this is a really important one. Psalm 139 and verse 17. And this is what it says. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, or how precious about me are your thoughts, O God, depends on which version you read it in. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Now, I want you to notice something. The psalmist here does not specify which grains of sand God is talking about. He's talking about, what I mean, in regards to God's love. He doesn't say, well, you know, your thoughts are as many as the grains of sand on Alberta Beach. He doesn't say that. Of course, Alberta Beach is not that big, you know. But he doesn't say as many as the sands on Cancun Beach down in Mexico. He says as many as the sands. He doesn't specify a desert. He doesn't specify a beach. He just says sands. Now, remember, God didn't only create Earth. He created the entire universe and many other universes. And in all of those universes, there are grains of sand. And every one of them goes towards that count of how many times God thinks about us. Now, just think that about that for a second. Let that sink in. Can you fathom that? Can you understand how much God thinks about you? The psalmist says in this chapter, when I lie down to sleep, you're there. When I awake, you're still there. You're always, always, always there. Because that's how much God thinks about us. And then a little bit more even than that, he more than just thinks about us all the time, he is actually obsessed with us. Now you're thinking, oh no, God's not obsessed with us. That's like a sick thing. That's what stalkers do. No, God never does anything unhealthy. His obsession is a beautiful obsession. And he wants us to be obsessed with him like he's obsessed with us. Well, let me tell you how God is obsessed with us. He's obsessed with us so much that he actually has numbered the hairs on our head. And if you don't believe me, read it in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. Luke chapter 12 and verse 7. Both of which state very clearly that God has numbered the hairs on our head. Now, for those of you who are parents or, you know, have nephews and nieces or whatever, or even just know another kid, think about if you were to take that child, place their head on your lap, and count every single hair on their head. Let me tell you, you'd be there a very long time. And I'll use my granddaughter Bella for an example, because her hair is some of the thickest hair you have ever laid your eyes on. And so can you imagine trying to count every hair on that child's head because you want to be aware of how many hairs she has? Well, God not only does that, but he must keep a count every day of every hair that falls. So when you combed your hair this morning and some hairs fell off, God knew they fell off. Because the Word of God says, and the Word of God does not lie, that God keeps account of the hairs on our head. He is obsessed with you this morning. Can I hear amen? Amen. He's obsessed with you. He's obsessed with me. And then to take that even just a little tiny bit further, not only is he obsessively love us, not only is he thinking about us all the time, but his thoughts towards us are always positive and good. Now, you probably think that God is sitting up there in judgment on you. But no, you see, the thing is, God is aware of our sin. He is aware of our sin. He's aware of our failings. He's aware of our shortcomings. But he made provision for those things. He made provisions for those things through the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is the reason he made provision. John 3:16, you all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In his love, he made provision for our sins, our shortcomings, and our failings. And the reason for that was because he wants to have good thoughts towards his children. And I'm going to refer you back to Psalm 139 and verse 17. The first part of that says, "How precious are your thoughts to me, O God." Now stop and think about preciousness. Do you consider something precious as negative or bad? The things in your life that are precious are the things that are valuable to you, the things that you love, the things that you enjoy, the things that are good and awesome and clean and wonderful and kind. Those are the things that are precious to you. And it's the same with God. When he has precious thoughts towards us, they are good thoughts towards us, my friends. Okay, so now we've established that this is the God that we serve, and this is how God feels about us. So now I'm actually going to preach, okay? That was just the introduction. And I hope you're not looking at your watches too quickly, because God's got some real neat stuff to say to us this morning. So this God who loves us and adores us and is obsessed with us, he has this desire for us. He has a desire that we will prosper and that we will have a great future. And in his word, it says that John actually praying, but praying as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, Beloved, you're loved, remember that. I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health, even as your soul is prospering. God desires that we would prosper, that we would succeed. And then God also says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, I know, God knows, the plans I have for you. Maybe you don't know what they are, but God knows what they are, and here is what God says they are. He says, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And that's what God desires for us this morning, that we would prosper and that we would have hope and a future. So if I were to put a title on my sermon this morning, my title would be this: Our Past or Our Future. Our Past or Our Future. And that brings me to the very first point that I want to bring out to you this morning. And the first point is that we cannot, I want you to really grasp this now this morning, we cannot have a future if we are constantly living in the past. We cannot have a future if we are constantly living in the past. Joyce Meyer likes to say, and I like this saying, so I'm going to repeat it a couple times. I didn't come up with it. She's smarter than me. That's okay. She says, your life can't go forward if your mind is always looking backwards. I'm going to repeat that again because it's worth repeating. Your life can't go forward if your mind is always looking backwards. So in the Word of God, we have this Apostle Paul, the famous Apostle Paul. I'm sure most of us here have heard of him. And if you haven't, read the New Testament. Paul's like in there hugely. He's quite famous in the New Testament and amongst Christian circles. Paul said and did a lot of good things. But Paul was not a good man all his life. He did some really nasty stuff, man. He didn't like Christians. He believed that they were a scourge on the earth, and he tried to wipe them out. He was very active in seeing to that they were killed and slaughtered and hunting them down and getting rid of them. He didn't believe in those Christ followers. They were weird people as far as he was concerned. until one day he was on the road and God encountered him. And he had a life-changing experience and encounter with the living Christ, and it changed him around. But he still had that ugly past. And then Paul went on to get a lot of hurts and a lot of damages along the way. You know, the scripture says one thing was even after he became a Christian, he had a problem with being arrogant. And I studied the life of Paul in Bible college, and I was fascinated by him. It was the only subject in which I got 100. And I mean 100 for the entire subject. It's the only time it ever happened in my life. But I found Paul so fascinating. And our prof was really good at teaching. But Paul had a problem with arrogancy. So he didn't immediately become the Paul that we know. In actual fact, he had to go and live in the desert for a while. Wasn't any fun, living in sand in a tent. But he had to do it. And God, you know, changed him there and altered him and made him a person that was more loving and kind and had a spirit of modesty and of humbleness. So Paul went through that, and then he was shipwrecked. Many scholars believe he lost his sight. He was persecuted. He was imprisoned and had dead men's bones tied to his back. But in spite of all of this stuff about Paul, this past that he had, these things that he went through, the stuff he suffered at the hands of others, the thing is, Paul wrote this scripture. In Philippians 3, 13 and 14, he's exhorting us, and he's saying to us what he has done. He says, brothers and sisters, and please, you know, you can look this one up. Philippians 3, 13 to 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I want that prize. I don't get a whole lot of prizes. In fact, in the circle of the women's conferences, I'm known as being the only one in the whole group who never gets a prize. And you can ask these girls. They're grinning in there because they know it's true. We go to those women's conferences, and they do those draws, you know, where they give out the prizes. And Allie, I never get a prize. There were 6 of us in the group last time. 5 of them got a prize. Guess who did not get a prize? And so I'm known for that. So, you know, there are some prizes that I don't get, but there are prizes that I can get. And the one prize that I'm determined that I'm going to get and I want to have and I want to see all of you have is the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what did Paul do? He said he forgot what lies behind. Now, I know you're thinking, well, I'm human. I can't just forget what happened. And I know, you know, we're not, you know, we're kind of in a sci-fi world, but not quite like it is on TV, where, you know, they can inject a drug in you and you forget everything, maybe even who your mother is and what your name is. And, you know, or they sit you in a machine and it wipes all your memories out. And, you know, and then eventually down later in the movie, they start coming back anyhow. So it doesn't really work, does it? So anyhow, we are not like that. So we are human and we can't just wipe our memories clean. It doesn't work that way. However, that's not what Paul's talking about. When he says he's forgetting what lies behind, what he is saying is, I don't give that any value. I don't give it any credence. I don't spend any time on it. I don't dwell with it. I don't stroke it. I don't nurture it. I spend no time with it. I totally neglect what is in the past because it has no power for me, and I refuse to give it any power for me. Rather, he chooses to turn his energies and his thoughts towards what lies ahead and towards the God who gives us what lies ahead. Because remember, God loves you and he... Okay, I'm going to ask you to do something really awkward now because I never got very much response from that. So I don't do this very often, but today I'm going to make you all be really awkward, step out of your comfort zones. So everybody stand to your feet. Put down whatever you got in your hands, stand to your feet. And I want you to find somebody. If there's nobody sitting beside you, maybe, Allie, you can come over with this girl. Anyhow, people, find somebody. Turn to them, look them in the face, and on the count of 3, you're going to say,